This is David Foose, Vice President of the KZFR Board of Directors and Interim Coordinator of Zephyr News. After much planning, Zephyr News debuted last November, and the Spring Pledge Drive shows mark its 19th and 20th episodes. Currently, Zephyr News is produced entirely by volunteers who work hard to get a show on the air each week. Our goal is to hire a part-time news coordinator and have Zephyr News become a daily show within 5 years, but we have no funding for that. If you support local news and reporting, please consider donating generously during this show. An anonymous donor has agreed to match the first $250 in pledges. The easiest way to donate is to call 530-895-0131, where volunteers are ready to take your pledge. You can also go to www.kzfr.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Sunny for Chico Soul. This week, two candidates in local elections and state funds for salmon preservation. Marianne Paiva and Tammy Ritter sat down with Chico Soul managing editor Leslie Layton ahead of the statewide direct primary election in June. They spoke about local immigration enforcement, mental and behavioral health services, the need for rent stabilization ordinance for mobile home parks, and local water policy as relates to long-term sustainability for residents, viability of development, pollution, and flood zones. Tammy Ritter is both the incumbent and the uncontested candidate for Butte County Supervisor in the 3rd District.
I'm running for my third term for County Supervisor, and I currently serve in a 4-1 minority, which means while it is a nonpartisan seat, I am the only Democrat, and there are 4 Republicans.
Here's Tammy Ritter talking about her biggest accomplishments of her first 2 terms.
Focus that I have wanted on behavioral health and on crisis intervention and how our law enforcement co-responds with our behavioral health teams.
Marianne Paiva is on the Butte County ballot for County Supervisor 2nd District against incumbent Peter Durfee. Peter Durfee has not yet responded to a request for an interview.
They decided to run for Supervisor of District 2 in Butte County. I'm not a politician, and I've never held a public office. I am a lecturer in the Department of Sociology at Chico State. I did a study a few years ago about food insecurity among DACA students. That is a whole different issue because they face different barriers.
And here's Marianne Paiva talking about water in District 2.
Water is the big issue, particularly in District 2, which has a large amount of rural area. And it has a concentrated city area, but it really is that rural area and that area that you're talking about of potentially growing into flood zones. You need to stop and reassess and say, what do we need to do to make sure we're not putting current houses at more risk of flooding, but also future developments at more risk of flooding. And so this needs to be a partnership between the county and the city to figure out what we need to do to ensure that people are living in areas that are not going to have continuous flooding, not going to have high insurance prices because of that. And so we have that flooding issue, but on the opposite side, it's a very weird thing. On the opposite side, we also don't have enough groundwater for all those people that are out there. And so we need to figure out a way to shore up the aquifer and to make sure we're not having as much demand on the aquifer, because we're seeing significant decreases over the past 20 years on that area. And the more houses we build, the more development we build, the more stress we're going to put on the aquifer.
In statewide environmental news, Chico Soul posted a story from Cal Matters about the end of state funds for salmon preservation. 2 years ago, a historic partnership with the Winnemem Wintu tribe and the California state government sought to reintroduce endangered winter run Chinook to the vital cold waters upstream of Lake Shasta on the McCloud River in Northern California. Now, state officials say that the one-time funds were tied to the state's drought response, and have been used up. Tribe officials are grappling with the sudden loss of jobs and with the dimming hope that the culturally sacred fish will be restored to their ancestral waters. This has been Sunny for Chico Soul. Follow the latest at chicosoul.org, including pictures from a protest at Children's Park in Chico in response to President Trump's threats to wipe out, quote, a whole civilization, end quote. And also an opinion piece about local news as a public good from Senators Stephen Glaser and Julian Travis Doe, co-director of American Community Media. At chicosoul.org, in our community calendar, you'll find that Chico Soul is tabling at Thursday Night Market this evening from 6 to 9 p.m. That's in recognition of Local News Day 2026. Also, at chicosoul.org, you can subscribe to our free weekly newsletter, The Little Sun, to get notified about new content and hear directly from our writers. That's Chico, SOL.org.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. At the Chico City Council meeting, council members turned its attention to a major project that could reshape the heart of Chico, the Downtown Revitalization Project. The project focuses on redesigning key downtown corridors, including Main and Broadway streets, with the goal of creating a safer, more accessible, and more vibrant space for the community. Plans include wider sidewalks, improved pedestrian crossings, upgraded bike lanes, and added landscaping, all aimed at making downtown Chico more walkable and welcoming. Officials say the redesign is not just about aesthetics, but about long-term functionality and safety. Supervisors also discussed the broader economic impact of the project. A revitalized downtown could bring increased foot traffic, support local businesses, and encourage new investment in the area. Leaders framed the effort as a long-term investment in Chico's future, one that could help define the city's identity for years to come. Community feedback has played a significant role throughout the planning process, and many of those concerns surfaced again during the meeting. Issues like reduced parking, traffic pattern changes, and the potential impact of construction on downtown businesses remain top of mind for residents and business owners. Supervisors also discussed the broader economic impact of the project. a revitalized downtown could bring increased foot traffic, support local businesses, and encourage new investment in the area. Leaders framed the effort as a long-term investment in Chico's future, one that could help define the city's identity for years to come. Brendan Ottoboni speaks at the Chico City Council meeting.
For Public Works, our role is to create public infrastructure, spaces that are safe, accessible, and welcoming, designed to attract people across all modes of transportation and encourage repeat visits. We recognize that downtowns today succeed by offering memorable experiences as much as traditional retail, and we've looked to other communities for inspiration. This evening, we'll review the process, summarize how we've reached this point, and seek Council's adoption of a preferred alternative for downtown improvements. Establishing this scope will give the staff direction needed to begin design-level work. Ongoing collaboration with businesses and property owners will continue through the design and construction phases to manage impacts and coordinate project sequencing. For context, this is step one, and depending on many different factors, most notably funding of a project of this size, will take multiple years before it is ready to begin construction. While these decisions are challenging, they're essential to the long-term vitality of our community. With guidance from our consultant team and robust public input, this has truly been a community-led effort, and we're confident it positions our downtown for lasting success.
Another key point raised during the discussion was coordination. Because the project directly affects city infrastructure, close collaboration between the county and the city of Chico will be essential, particularly when it comes to funding, design decisions, and implementation timelines. The Downtown Revitalization Project is being positioned as a transformative effort, one that could redefine how people experience downtown Chico, from how they move through it to how they gather and do business there. This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News.
Hi, this is Grant Parks, the general manager of KZFR. Right now, during our spring pledge drive, I'm asking you to support something that's becoming harder and harder to find: local, independent news. Zephyr News is produced right here in our community, covering the issues, voices, and decisions that impact life in the North State. It's reporting you won't hear anywhere else, because it's created by people who live here and care deeply about our community. But programming like Zephyr News only exists because listeners choose to support it. KZFR doesn't rely on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting or the federal government anymore. We rely on you. If you value having access to independent, community-based journalism, now is the time to act. Make your donation today at kzfr.org/donate or call 530-895-0706. Your support keeps Zephyr News on the air and keeps our community informed. Thank you for your support, and thank you for tuning in to KZFR, the Mighty Zephyr.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. At the Chico City Council meeting, council members took up a critical item addressing homelessness and addiction in the region: funding for the Jesus Center Treatment Center project. At the center of the discussion is a proposed residential treatment facility in Chico, led by the Jesus Center. The project aims to provide structured, long-term care for individuals experiencing substance use disorders, particularly those who are also facing homelessness. The facility is backed by a major state investment of more than $6.5 million, awarded through California's Behavioral Health Continuum Infrastructure Program. The funding would support the development of a 16-bed residential treatment center at the organization's existing campus, offering 24-hour care, clinical oversight, and recovery-focused services. Chico City Council members considered whether to approve roughly $650,000 in matching funds, money drawn from opioid settlement funding, to help move the project forward. Supporters of the project emphasized the urgent need for expanded treatment options in Butte County. Officials noted that the region continues to face overlapping crises of homelessness and substance use, with limited long-term treatment capacity currently available. Mark Sorensen states at the Chico City Council meeting.
Back in October, City Council unanimously supported a $6.5 million grant application submitted by the Jesus Center to the California Department of Healthcare Services to fund construction of a 16-bed substance use disorder facility at its Fair Street campus. I think earlier this month, Jesus Center did receive a notice of conditional award for that grant. Among the conditions is a grant match for the project of $651,376. In the item before you tonight, I'm proposing that the City of Chico provide opioid settlement funds to the Jesus Center for that grant match. These funds can only be used for items such as the construction of the proposed project or operation of those kinds of projects. In the report that I provided to the council, the current fund balance of opioid settlement funds is over $2 million. I think we have received, and that includes about $471,000 that we've received this year. And it also provides you with estimates for the next several years. And they're for the next 5 years, they typically are in the $400,000 to $500,000 per year range. Asking for council approval of the resolution before you tonight that would authorize the use of opioid settlement funds and a budget supplemental appropriation.
Council member Mike O'Brien states at the Chico City Council meeting.
No, I was just going to say this is a very appropriate use of this money. In fact, a perfect use of this money. We have had a issue with substances, not just in Chico, but across this country, where it kills hundreds of thousands of people every year. Kills 100 people in Butte County alone, typically, every year. This is significant. We need treatment. And as I said, I don't think we can find a better use for this money and better place for this money to go with this substance abuse center run by the Jesus Center.
Council members also discussed how the project fits into a broader county efforts to address behavioral health. In recent years, the county has secured millions in state funding aimed at expanding housing and supportive services, with the Jesus Center already playing a role in those efforts. Addressing substance use and homelessness requires not just short-term fixes, but sustained investment in treatment infrastructure, something this project is designed to provide. This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Zephyr News. This news program you're listening to is the result of the dreams and dedication of KZFR volunteers and staff. It's long been our goal to offer our listeners a locally produced regional news program. During this pledge drive, will you help us continue and expand our coverage? Please call 530-895-0131 or go to www.kzfr.org/donate to contribute. As Rivera Sun from Counterpunch said, if we lose our local news, we lose the nuances, specificity, and responsiveness that only a local news outlet can deliver. More and more, this kind of information is of vital importance to our daily lives and to our future. On behalf of all of us at KZFR, this is Laura Lukes, President of the Board of Directors, thanking you for your support.
You are listening to the Orion News Weekly Report, brought to you by California State University Chico, KZFR, KCSE, and KWQA Maker Radio. The reporters and editors of the Orion work tirelessly to bring you relevant, timely, and engaging news, sports, opinion, and entertainment. The Associated Students general election begins today. Students will have 48 hours to cast their vote between 17 representatives. Students are elected to represent the student body and serve on committees focused on advocacy and policy. Student representatives can serve on multiple committees where they can use their influence to enact change on campus. Voting will be closed Friday, April 10th. This Earth Day, April 22nd, the University Farm will offer tours showcasing its crops, livestock, and orchards. The tours will highlight the farm's sustainable practices by offering a firsthand look at how the farm manages land, water, and crops to support long-term productivity and stewardship. The student agricultural ambassadors will lead the tours, each lasting about 90 minutes. Shuttles will transport visitors from campus to the farm for the start of each tour. Guests will also have the opportunity to stop by the farm store to explore and purchase locally produced food items. Beyond the Earth Day tour, students can explore hands-on opportunities at the farm through volunteer roles, internships, and academic programs.
Legislative effort to make college more accessible by expanding community colleges' ability to offer bachelor degrees are clashing with the California State University system. More than 50 bachelor degree programs have been approved and are currently offered at community colleges, while many remain in limbo due to protests by California State University administrators, who have argued that community colleges should not replicate any CSU programs. In 2021, an assembly bill was passed allowing California community colleges to create bachelor degree programs, provided they can demonstrate a need for workers in a specific industry. But they are not allowed to offer a program if a similar one exists elsewhere in the state.
Now for Chico sports. This last weekend, Wildcat softball went 1-3, losing to the San Francisco State Gators. In Game 2, neither team was able to break through until the top of the 7th inning. After a sacrifice fly from the Gators, with a runner on third, they went up by 1. The Cats went scoreless, losing 1-0 in the bottom of the 7th. In Game 3, the Gators, behind Alexis Perez in her third straight pitching appearance, took the game 9-5, giving the Gators an opportunity at a series sweep. In Game 4, the Cats clinched a 6-4 win off 12 hits to end the series 1-3, led by Ayanna Curry, who went a perfect 3-for-3 from the plate, as well as Allie Lewis, who went 3-for-4. The Cats stopped the Gators from earning a series sweep. Wildcat softball now sits at 5th in the CCAA at 9-11 in conference play and will be back home May 1st to play Cal State East Bay. Also at home this last weekend, Chico State baseball earned their first series win of conference play, going 3-1 against the Cal State San Bernardino Coyotes. Game 1 saw 6 scoreless innings from freshman ace Jack Tews before the Coyotes struck with 2 runs in the 7th. The Wildcats were able to rally in the 7th and 8th to win the game 3-2. In Game 2, the Cats took the win 10-4 after scoring in 5 different innings. This performance was led by Miles Walton, who went 3-for-4 from the plate with 2 RBIs. Moving to Game 3, Chico State lost their momentum, falling 12-0. The Cats managed only 6 hits, while the Coyotes got 17 of their own. In the last game of the series, with the win on the line, the Wildcats came up big with a 13-2 win. Again, Miles Walton led the team on offense, going 4-for-5 with 3 RBIs to contribute to the Cats' 17-hit total. With the Sunday win, the Cats took the series over the Coyotes 3-1. Chico State baseball now sits at 8th in the CCAA and will return home Friday, April 24th against Cal State Monterey Bay. These stories and much, much more can be found at theorion.com. Today's narrators are Cody Rowan, Hannah Cabral, and Josh Shannon. This week's authors include Anthony Vosick, Jameson Lee Young, Mary Scheiger, Lucy Bukowski, and Brendan Massive. It's been your boy Josh Shannon, signing off.
This is David Foose for Zephyr News. I'm here with Asia Bird from the True North Housing Alliance. Hello.
Hi.
So what is the True North Housing Alliance?
So True North Housing Alliance, a lot of people know us because we are the home of the Torres Community Shelter. So we've been around since 1998. We started as a volunteer group and we had a rotating shelter. We quickly realized we needed a permanent spot for folks, so we opened the Torres Shelter in 2003. Since then, we've expanded our programs to provide housing to people. We do street outreach. We have a home for families. We partner with Chico State to do rapid rehousing. We also serve pets at the Torres Shelter as well. And our most recent program that people have been hearing about is the Howard Slater Navigation Center.
And the Howard Slater Navigation Center opened last November.
Yes. Yes, it did.
What is that and how is it different from a shelter?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, one of the gaps that we noticed in our services is that how can we address the prevention piece? How can we get to folks before they are living in their car or crashing on a friend's couch or on the streets? So one of the things we really wanted to focus on is the model of a navigation center, which has been used successfully in other communities to help provide a space that not just, you know, a partner like True North could use, but that we can use with a variety of our partners to provide services to people and reach them before they are becoming homeless. So folks who need to use the Torres Shelter who've maybe never stayed with us can walk through the door and ask for shelter services. Folks who are maybe behind on rent because a medical event happened in their family or unemployment can walk through the door and say, we're behind on rent, we need help, can you help us out? So it's really exciting to have that space to work with our partners, to provide support to people, to get folks more efficiently into shelter and also to provide prevention services.
So how have the first 4 months gone?
It's been really amazing. You know, we've been working on this for a while and we had a big capital campaign and been trying to get a lot of community support. And we are so excited to share that in our first 4 months of operation, we housed 101 people. So that includes 48 people who have been served through our homelessness prevention services and over 400 people total walked through the doors seeking support. Last year, just to put it in context, we housed around 170 people. So if you do the math, we're already like 60% of our total from last year, which is really incredible. And we're really excited to share that with the community because it shows that the model that we have is working and that people are getting help that they need.
So what's next?
What's next? So we are actually have as part of our services, we realized that providing support to our pets of the folks in our programs is important too. So we have a Duke's Pet Park and Kennel that's going to be opening. We are already welcoming pets at the shelter, but this will be a nice space for them to have indoor kennel and support and a place to run around and play. So that's going to be opening up soon. And really what we're focusing on is just trying to sustain the good work we're doing and gather more monthly support for folks who feel compelled by our mission, which is to move people forward and out of homelessness with compassion, dignity, and accountability.
And how do folks get a hold of you?
That's great. You know, we would love to have people come in for tours of the Navigation Center, so we can even do those outside of regular business hours. If you want to get a hold of us, you can give us a call. You can reach out to us online. Our website is truenorthbutte.org. Send us an email, reach out to us on social media. We would love to hear from you.
And this has been David Foos for Zephyr News with Asia Bird from True North Housing Alliance.
Zephyr News is produced by Trevor Parks, Lorenz Weissel, and KZFR volunteers. Listeners may send tips for stories to news@kzfr.org or by using the Submit a Story icon on kzfr.org. This program is made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. You can support KZFR's journalistic endeavors by visiting kzfr.org/donate. Subscribe to Zephyr News on your favorite podcast platform and share your thoughts on social media. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week.